And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
Rob Bell is also in the house.
And big things are happening.
Big things are happening. We're in Times Square.
We are in Times Square.
Right, not right at the second. We're not.
No.
Virtually,
well,
we
right
are.
Right now, we're in Lambertville,
virtually,
Jersey.
Virtually, we are.
15 minutes after every hour of every day, we are up in Times Square for not so long, but hey.
Enough to see us.
It's actually a pretty nice little, you know, nice full 10 seconds there every hour.
I think it's longer than, it seems like longer.
It seems
than
even
10.
Longer.
It feels like longer.
We were there
I
yesterday.
Think it's longer.
No.
Anyway, we're there. Go see
we're
us.
We're there. So that's all that matters.
It's right next to Madame, what's her name? Madame it's Tussauds. Right,
but it's Tussauds. Above. It's above Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yes.
So
right.
That's the best. And then it's to the left of the Dave and Buster's sign.
And to the right of the Madame
to the left
Tussauds.
The right of Madame
that
Trudeau's.
That is Dave and Buster's, I think. It's not just the sign. It's the
Well, I know. But
it's the place.
Right. But I mean, it's right next to that.
Yeah.
It's a hustle and bustle and place.
Yes.
It is.
So.
And so we're going to, we tried to do a segment in the city when we went in to take the photos, and
went into a Dallas barbecue.
We went into a restaurant. We were a little excited, and we were having technical difficulties. It didn't really work out, but if you want to, we're just going to play.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of that crazy.
A couple of minutes.
It's kind of fun. Okay. We'll get a 5 minutes out of it. Here you go.
All right.
Hey, I'm Dee Anderson.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
Rob Bell's holding the camera.
And we are in front of our billboard for Food for Thought. Food for Thought. You can listen on redstatetalkradio.com.
On their lifestyle channel.
And it's you can hear us Saturdays and Sundays at 5 o'clock.
It's here at the Dallas Barbecue.
And we are
Times Square.
Hanging out in front of a nice warm spot in front of our billboard.
Yes, that's right. We said our billboard.
Yeah.
Because we are up on a billboard. Dee more prominently than Rob and I, but
very sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry.
This is actually the perfect spot right here because we have I have a perfect view of the sign. And what is it, 10 seconds an hour?
10 seconds an hour, and my ass is sitting on a heater.
Well, right now you can sit on a chair.
I'm enjoying this.
Oh, okay, you're enjoying it. It's cold out. It's like 40 degrees.
The restaurant we're sitting in is Dallas Barbecue as opposed to Lutes, but that's okay.
And the best beer on tap was Sam Adams.
I'm digging the beer, actually. I'm good with the beer. Yeah, this is very good. I'm enjoying this, whatever this is.
Sam Adams. I stick my nose up to Sam.
You do. I'm not a beer drinker, so that's my thing.
So our billboard is going to be popping up in the next... we've already seen it flip by a couple of times.
Did you take pictures?
While
I look for a place to park.
I posted one on Facebook.
I parked right next to a sign that says no parking, tow away zone today. So we'll see if my car's there when I get back. I love New York.
This car will be towed. We can do a remote live from the in-town lot at 38th and 11th. So should we talk about food? Sure. Want to talk about what's in front of us?
What are we ordering for appetizers here? I think we need fried calamari because you always order that.
It's hard for us foodies to wind up at a chain restaurant.
Is this a chain?
Everything in Times Square is a
touristy kind of place, but...
So we might have to order a couple of things. But how about what restaurant we're going to go to after this?
I don't know. That's a good question. I was voting for the Gotham Market because I'm kind of addicted to their ramen.
But I kind of pictured like the cafeteria atmosphere with the trees.
No, it's not.
Is there table service?
No,
there's no table service.
I don't like that.
The tapas place is so delicious.
Okay. I want to be sure. All right.
So how exciting is this for you, Deirdre, that gigantic sign over your shoulder is going to have a gigantic picture of you.
Every hour.
And us.
Every hour for
a
month.
Smaller.
No, I'm just a little tiny.
I'm a little pea on a pod.
Yeah, I'm a little pea on the pod.
But for the show's sake, because I did apologize to you guys, when I first saw this group, where my freaking face and body was a third of the billboard with a separate photo, I really initially wanted to call the guy and say, we can't do this, because this is about the radio show. And then after about 5 seconds, I said, nah, let's leave it alone.
Of course.
Absolutely. This is going to be really good for you. So this has Deirdre's cell phone number, basically,
yeah.
Up on a billboard. on one side of the billboard is our show, and on the other side is basically soliciting your catering services.
And I think we need to shout out to the significant others who are here.
Yes,
the peanut gallery over here.
Deirdre's significant other John is here, and my significant other Mario is here.
And Chris, okay. I'm still in court with my significant other.
Smiling and enjoying this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's our lovely waiter. We'll be right with you.
All right, so as you can see, we really didn't have a lot to talk about, just the fact that we were excited.
We were just jumping up and down.
We actually went into the Dallas barbecue because we were outside on the sidewalk and just basically looking up at, okay, what's that window? And we went upstairs. Sort of got into a little skerfuffle with the hostess because we wanted to be
skerfuffle?
Exactly in front of.
Is skerfuffle a word?
I don't know. It is now.
And the wings cost what, $12?
Actually, I thought the wings were not terrible.
They were right.
I thought the other...
Everything in Times Square, though, is everything's a rip.
Yeah.
You can't find a restaurant
no, it's
or...
Well, yesterday at Beer Authority, that was definitely a ripoff. During happy hour, six segments of wings, so three actual wings.
$12.
For $12.
It was called, what was it, the Beer Authority?
Beer Authority.
And was it right there? It was, yeah, a couple of blocks.
Okay.
And
it's
I refused to have crappy beer. And the Beer Authority, they have like,
right there.
They have a lot on tap. And, well, there was a dollar off the beers. But, you know, $12 for six wings. How much do you, you're in the restaurant.
For three full wings.
Six wings?
Six pieces, you know.
How much does it cost?
How much your food cost?
35 cents.
I was going to say like 60 nothing. Cents.
Nothing. And we ordered right. two different ones.
You know,
so
if you're buying a
bucks.
Whole chicken,
yeah.
you know, the wings are...
It's nothing, right?
Nothing.
And happy hour, like we were there early. It was like 4...
It's like 4:30.
4:30, you know, so, that should be...
I'm sorry I didn't go.
Happy hour.
You know, so we had a beer and a half.
Although...
And two little teeny orders of wings for, what, $50?
Although, when we went on Sunday,
yeah,
that margarita was good.
It
was good margarita. Was your beer good?
No. Deirdre doesn't like Sam beer Adams.
Beer snob.
Oh,
but it was the Sam Adams lager. I think that's the best beer they make.
Now that I have truly become a beer snob, I will
Which
not
is hysterical because you're not a wine.
I'll drink anything.
Go ahead, say what you call it.
Weasel piss. I will drink weasel piss.
But beer.
$5 a bottle. I mean, I'm not... That's not my favorite thing to do.
Right.
When I go to a restaurant and, or if I, especially if it's a BYOB and I like to get a bottle that's a little better.
Right.
But just for day-to-day guzzling, weasel piss is
the only time
really
I
all
like,
I can afford.
Mm-mm. What about for cooking, ladies? Does the quality of the wine make any difference?
Yes. Absolutely.
I disagree.
I totally do not. If
you all right,
have
I want to do side by side.
Crappy wine.
Well,
and you make a coca van with a crappy wine.
Okay, but no,
it makes a difference.
It's yes, because you're putting that flavor.
But you said here's
juicing.
Here's the key
so
word.
So concentrating
is acidic,
that bad flavor.
Acidic. Not every shitty wine is acidic. Sometimes they're just flat. Sometimes
shiitake
just,
wine.
No, but sometimes
we
the
can
tannin,
on occasion.
We can the tannins. It could be like an extremely.
I
tannic.
Really. This is something that.
All right, we're. Doing
I understand
it.
That you have a whole. There's a whole bunch of you who believe this. I don't.
Side by side taste test.
Let's do it.
Yeah, who's going to do
okay.
that?
We'll do it in my house.
Hey, that's a good idea for the TV show.
Yes.
Write that down. That's a good idea for the TV show.
Okay,
cook the same thing with two different qualities of wine.
This brings us to the next. Now, first, you know, wait a minute.
All right. Yeah.
We did still want to finish up on something, but our next topic is going to be the food show. And
but I just thought that would be a good segment or a good section
right.
of a segment.
That would
yeah,
be a
things
great thing.
That like, you know, culinary myth or truth.
Right.
Culinary myth or truth. Exactly. Does the quality of the wine make a difference?
Busting
a lot of people
fallacies.
Don't think it does.
I think that's a good
busting
idea.
Busting fallacies.
Okay.
Busting you know, myths. Like, does the wine cork in the broth that you're cooking the octopus in really do something?
I think it does.
You do?
I do.
Write it down.
No, it's in our busting myths category.
See, I only heard about that last show. I never
Me
heard
too.
Of this
it's,
whole
it's
wine cork in the
Italian
octopus thing.
And what does it thing. Do, Laura? What does that cork do?
It's, well, because obviously cork is extremely porous. It's sucking
out what?
What's
sucking
it, out what? What's
I don't sucking? Know. I don't know.
What's it sucking out?
I mean, I'd have to be.
Is it sucking odors?
No.
Is it sucking out some of the flavor, perhaps?
No.
Is it
I think
sucking
out salt. I think it's sucking out acidity.
So how would we?
I don't know. We're going to find it out.
But wait, is this a dry cork? Or is this a cork that you just popped out of a bottle of wine so it's got the essence of the wine
in it? Good point. Is it a brand new cork?
It's
not a brand new cork. It's a cork from a bottle.
It's a wine infused.
So you know, ultimately, it's probably
so it's already
like,
got juice in
you
it.
Know, Italian fishermen on the side didn't want to litter with their cork from
yeah,
their
probably.
Bottle and they
All
threw
right.
it in the pot.
I'm voting for myth on this one.
Myth.
It's like, okay, well, how
Same
about throwing
is...
salt over your shoulder?
All right.
Well,
that's something, you know.
You mean for good luck?
Of course, we could definitely have a show like busting all of these things that are, you know, traditions, but you're now scoffing at someone's tradition that they've been doing. If it's a cultural thing.
We'll get hate emails.
I've already gotten my first. Remember my first hate email? It was kind of like I knew I had arrived when I got my first hate email.
I don't remember.
It was before you were doing the show with us. And I did say something political. Uh-huh. And some guy reached out and what did he call me? A stupid
libtard?
No, he called me a
snowflake.
I think I remember.
It was
this.
Like, it was really nasty.
Yeah,
and he
I
called me some
that.
Kind of some derogatory, stupid,
I think
brain
I remember
dead
this.
Or some,
Although
whatever
I'm
I was.
I'm thinking about when we were together because I remember him saying something like, why would I want to listen to you two yakking about. Do you remember?
Whatever it was nasty. And at first I was sort of taken aback. And then I thought, no, this is good. It's good to be hated.
Means people are listening,
it means,
I guess.
Yeah. And guess what? When
is it like
we
a puppy?
Do get famous.
Any attention is...
when we
know,
do get
negative
famous...
attention and positive are both good.
Now you can take this from a Zumba instructor who has experienced success in the past, okay?
Yes.
Not in any big way like some of these people do,
right.
But like for a while there,
had
I had like a big following.
Huge.
And I was, some people thought I was the bomb.
I was one of your
you
followers.
You were one of my followers. Mm-hmm. Some people thought I was the bomb, but guess what? Mm-hmm. When you get into a position like that, where people are like regarding you highly, mm-hmm. there are going to be a lot of people who really let
that.
You know
oh, yeah.
how much they don't like you. And
of
it
course.
Was really hard for me. It
I
was
totally
really
get
hard
it.
For me. And this show, I could see how a lot of people aren't going to hate my guts. And that's okay.
You know what? It's all good. You do you. Let them do them.
Vegetarians are going to be very upset with you.
Why?
Because you're cooking things with meat.
Well,
or maybe the fact that I want to force feed
so. Every
carne.
Vegetarian I've ever met, and I have quite a few in my life, it's their choice. They don't begrudge someone else enjoying it. It's just their choice for
well,
them.
Vinny always gives me, like if I have lunch,
some of them
he always gives me trouble.
Some of them
yeah.
judge. Yeah.
I can't believe you're eating that seared flesh. You know?
Oh,
or
well, that's not nice.
Some of them really don't like it when I say that I want to, you know, in terms
well,
of foie gras, that
you want
I
want to
force feed the geese myself
well,
because
is,
they're
it's kind of
nasty.
Nice.
That so, and no, there are vegetarians who are holier than thou. You don't know any of them?
I don't. Happily, no. Mm-mm. I know a lot of vegetarians.
I know a lot of part-time vegetarians.
Close, my sister, you know, I have close, although my sister eats fish now, but no, I have
pescatarian.
Karen Wendell.
Yes.
Doesn't eat meat. No, I have a lot of vegetarians in my life, and they are, you know, it's just their choice. They don't begrudge.
And they don't, if they watch you eat ribs or something, are like, ugh, I can't even look at that.
No.
Because some people
or
like
they've
that.
Vinny says he won't eat anything that looks back at him.
Or they've never
That's
verbalized it.
When so eggs are okay.
Well, potatoes have eyes.
The Princeton philosophy department
Black
at Princeton University wouldn't eat anything that had a brain. So they would eat
you know
scallops.
What? To each his own.
You know,
it would be a pretty boring world if we all did the same thing. So whatever. Good. Great for them.
It's good. More scalps for me.
Don't begrudge someone else. Their choices.
Can I talk about my delivery?
Hey, doesn't that go with everything?
What?
Don't begrudge someone else their choices.
I don't. I'm just saying other people do it to me.
I know. But
I don't.
They're wrong.
Okay.
Listen, you know, because of the...
And we're right.
Because of the Times Square thing, we're pretty much out of time for this segment.
Right? All right. So when we come back, we're going to discuss some other options, because now while the iron is hot, we got to get busy. So we're
taping.
Working. We're going to do a television or, you know, some kind of food show made for TV.
Woohoo!
So we're talking about topics on that.
Coming out from behind the mic.
That's right. When we come back.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people, and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees, so you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN Bridge Program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
Call 1-800-827-3900. 1-800-827-3900. 1-800-827-3900.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
Back, back, back. We got new advertisers on the show, by the way.
Nice.
Our listeners will probably notice.
Is it like ambulance chasers and stuff like that? Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to be moving away from that shiitake pretty soon.
We are? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get our real commercials of our very own.
Okay. And we're going to have a real TV show.
And we're going to create those commercials ourselves. And we're going to have a TV show. We have to put out to the universe what we're going to be doing here.
Yeah, exactly. We're definitely doing a TV show. Absolutely.
So let's brainstorm some of our ideas.
Now here, let me preface it by saying what I thought of doing originally and what I thought would be interesting, because you have to also be in the mindset here that between the Food Network and PBS and over the past 30 years, it's all been done.
It has.
It's all been done. Mm-hmm. So whatever we come up with has to be interesting. My initial thought was go into the five boroughs and go to these like hidden treasures in the five boroughs. Not the expensive places, but the mom and pops, the really cool places. This has been done already.
Right.
And I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's impossible that every place has been hit. You know, it's impossible. Right. I don't know how cool that would be. And we would do location shoot. And
well,
then,
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's
yeah,
their thing. They travel all over the country.
Like
that.
Anthony Bourdain goes into...
He goes around the world. Diners, Drive-Ins is just U.S. Yeah.
And that's Food Network. I'm not into Food Network.
Well, he does, but he also goes to really cool places.
He goes to little hidden gems. Like
I'm into things like PBS and smaller deals and Food Network.
Then you get the bald guy who only eats, you know, he does things that are disgusting. He eats disgusting things. You know what I'm talking about. Andrew Zimmer.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't do it for
me. It's like 90% of what he's eating, I wouldn't touch it.
Okay, but the reason why...
I think all of it. It all looks good to me.
I think we all loved the idea of going into the five boroughs and doing a show like that. But from a practical standpoint, it's a lot of travel.
Logistically, yeah.
Logistically, it's challenging. So then Rob said, all right, we'll do it in Laura's kitchen and we'll call it Laura's kitchen and you and Deirdre will cook. And I'm like, no, first of all, we're not calling it Laura's kitchen.
No.
Secondly, that's boring.
No, but we could do it either in the restaurant or in my kitchen because it's just,
I think the restaurant's better.
Feasibly. I don't know about that.
No.
No, because I've actually been sort of planning it out to do it at home. The way my kitchen is situated.
It's good to have an island in the foreground.
There's an island in the foreground, and there's also, if I move my kitchen table, we probably could seat at least 20 people.
Oh, okay, so great. Pitch your idea.
So I've got a couple of ideas.
Okay.
First idea is when Mario and I first opened Chambers Walk in Lawrenceville, after we had moved out of Princeton, I did this, and this is back when I was cooking on the line every day, I did something called Tuesdays on Tour. And every Tuesday, it was almost very similar to, do you remember up in the Rosemont Cafe?
Yeah.
They had that one day that they would, you know, eat globally, travel locally.
Yeah.
So I literally have over, because I did it for probably 2 years, Tuesdays on Tour. So I had an entire menu, app, entree, dessert of a specific place.
Okay. So multiple, let's say you would have app, entree, dessert, all from one region.
Yes. Today we're in China. Next week we're in Italy. The week after that we're in Morocco.
Okay, I like it.
So
I like this idea.
So that's one idea. The other idea I had, because I think often when I'm either posting stuff for work or posting stuff personally, because I am posting a lot of, you know, my own, what I'm cooking, what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. I have a ton of people that say to me, you know, this is something I would like to see. How do you do? Can you step by step show me how to do this? Also, what happens literally, I get probably, I'll try not to exaggerate, I probably get 30 to 35 texts throughout the year. How do I make this?
Yeah.
At what temperature do you know? Just
how
questions.
About Google it?
Just questions.
Google
I know,
it.
But they're asking,
Google
you know,
Laura.
My,
but they're talking
no,
about stuff specific to your menu.
No, specific to just recipe, just questions.
I get that. I get that
in general.
I get that too. Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe we do just like a question and answer, like a Q&A, kitchen Q&A.
You could do that as a little part of it.
You could.
No,
I would do
well, hang on.
Segment.
Let me finish the process. So maybe we have a selection. Obviously, if we're going to do this with a live audience, we have, you know, people in the audience asking us questions. We also can, you know, I mean, the public doesn't need to know this, but we can be staging our own questions. I want to know, learn how to bone a duck.
Right.
So we bone
of
a duck.
Of course, you got to do right.
You know, you wanna keep it interesting. Learn how to, you know.
You know what, all the questions we had to boil water.
Give me the basis of soups. Like, I really want to make a good, you know, just basically Q&A. Answering questions. So receiving and answering questions in a
okay.
kitchen
you know
setting.
What I say to that one? Practical but boring.
Right. Okay.
Practical right. but boring. Okay, but I like the okay. world cooking.
Okay.
Okay.
And the last thing I was thinking about is just basically making our show like a visual cookbook. So each week we're doing something else, whether it's soups or sauces or working with fish or working
or d'oeuvres.
With hors d'oeuvres. That's another idea. And you know, so we can lay out
each show would be
segment,
dedicated to
each show is dedicated to, okay, today's show is all about fish. You know, you want to know how to make a really good shrimp bisque, or you want to know how to make lobster thermidor, or how to work with a deboned salmon. You know, just we can pick out whatever subjects we'd like to do on that subject, and that's the fish show.
Right.
Then another idea that I had, and I just had it, and I just lost it. I just was in it.
Can I, since you're thinking.
Yeah, please do.
One of the things that I was thinking, though, too, that really goes hand in hand with your world cuisine mm-hmm. thing. Now, many years ago, and I'm sure there's people that have done it since. I'm not up on every single food show that's on the planet right now. But many years ago, and we can't reference this guy because he's too controversial. But back in the day when we all used to watch A Frugal Gourmet and he had one of my favorite cookbooks ever, I mean, to this day, is Our Ancient Ancestors. Right. And what I loved about the book, and he did incorporate it into a show too, was that before each country that was named like right. Portugal or right. Korea or whatever it was. There was a couple of pages about the history. Mm-hmm. And the recipes were really the old world right. recipes. Like there was nothing new age or there was nothing okay. contemporary about it, which I don't agree that that's the way it should always be because I think there's been improvements. Right. But to incorporate some sort of history, like okay. interesting, you know, to... That would be a personal life and for actually, me, which I think some people would dig.
What also might be interesting is maybe preparing the dish in the old style and then maybe how it's transitioned and right. what we would do
here's
now.
Here's what we would do today.
Yeah, that's
or here's how we jazz it up.
That's
or
an interesting
here's
idea.
How we make it a little more healthy because that's going to give you a heart attack. Or, you know, so I mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I had another... It was more so... You know how... I thought we could go with, you know, you're the formally trained chef mm-hmm. and I'm the self-taught person. And mm-hmm. as a self-taught person over the years, you discover things that you missed. Mm-hmm. You have been mispronouncing chicken Marbella for 30 years.
Right.
You've been saying tomato concasse when it's really concasse, which I think right. what was happening with concasse, right. because I also took like 7 years of French. So I know right. about the pronunciation. I think... You know how a lot of people, when they type the word concasse, if you don't have the French
accents,
the agu, you're not going to see
that way.
And right. so I think when I, over time, when I saw it without the accent, I know right. it's silent. So I just perceived it. Or,
so run with say, that idea. You would do something.
I would do something where like, we would focus on like the
profession, like the quote
the stuff
unquote,
that the home chef, like someone like me who just goes by cookbooks and right. and experimentation mm-hmm. Versus, you know, consulting with the real deal. Like, for okay. example, when you told me cookbooks, and I've looked this up mm-hmm. for like a beurre blanc or beurre rouge,
right.
they all tell you, turn the heat down after you do the reduction, turn yeah. the heat down to as low as possible. And, you or know, off. Years ago, I would always do that. And I couldn't understand why once in a while it didn't work out. Why do 1 out of 10 sauces break? And you were the one that told me
temperature.
Temperature. It's yeah. some oven, some stovetops, if you bring it down to the lowest heat, you won't get any bubbles.
Some you and just some turn you it will. Off.
Yeah. So like things like that, that you, okay. you learn that in culinary school.
Okay.
You can't necessarily, you don't necessarily learn it. I mean, there's Google and I, you right. know, I could have done a whole bunch right. of research, but I don't know. I just think, or the thing that you told me with beef Wellingtons. Why are my beef Wellingtons, when I do them whole and I go to slice them, they're a friggin' mess.
Right.
Why? And you said...
See, this is the practical tips section of the show.
I know. And
the whole show can't right. be that, but it would be like a section.
We Right. We could do
right, and that's
a
how
little
we would
bit.
Have to break it down. I actually, yeah. in thinking about this, because we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, I started watching, or I started taping, and like when I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I've been watching Rachel Ray. I've been watching, you know, a couple of different food shows. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like, you know, for every show, she has the, you know, what's for dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. She has the, mm-hmm. You know, a practical application on, you know, this is how you do this. So there's different segments throughout each show.
I think right. it, I think right. it depends. It right. really depends on the type of show you go with. Because if we go with like the world cooking, ancient mm-hmm. ancestors kind of thing,
right.
I don't know if that really applies. But if we go with more of a... You know,
yeah, Q&A and a
Q&A segment, and, you know, more of a hodgepodge yeah. of a show where you're doing different right. segments, doing different things.
Right.
So we have,
I have
to,
a couple ideas.
Although that's not true. That's not true. Because we could do a show where the segment of on tour is a segment. It's not the whole show, but the international or historical is just a segment in the show. So
yes.
it would work both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
It could work
yes.
both ways.
It's something that needs further discussion.
Yeah.
Robbie, you had some ideas?
Well, I was thinking, you know, because you wanted to be different. So
yeah.
I remember for Thanksgiving, I made sweet potatoes with...
marshmallows?
With baby marshmallows.
I, yeah.
And you were all like,
right.
that
where are
you going? Is disgusting. I, you know, and
ditto.
Then you tasted it and you were like, you know, this is actually not bad. Am I right? You said it's not bad.
Well, no, I think that's in your fantasy. I don't think I ever put that in my mouth.
Sugar on top.
You
of
did. You said this is not as bad. So
I was
thinking,
drunk.
You were drunk. Well, that's true. You were
too
weasel piss was much in evidence
weasel
that
piss.
Night. But that got me to thinking that maybe we could explore recipes that are maybe suggested by your fans that sound absolutely disgusting, but they claim they're good. So we actually make them,
like green bean casserole,
and give them out to
the
audience and ask them whether what they think
onions.
Of that. Is it you know, is it really as gross as, you know what I mean? It would be something different, you know.
Or here's an
okay,
example.
Okay, that might have to come under the comparison slash busting myths segment. Where?
Yeah, it might be a segment.
Yeah.
Here's an example. I'm thinking
we got
of this.
A lot of, do you hear all this? This is pretty good brainstorming.
Yeah. One of those cheesy recipes that I used to do I didn't do this for my own business. Okay. Disclaimer here, wasn't my business. I was working for somebody else.
You're
about 20.
Talk about the mayonnaise, that dip you make with the.
No. Did I ever talk about Chicken Flow?
I think. Yeah, the catering company.
Yeah. So we called it Chicken Flow, but it was Chicken Florentine. Mm-hmm. And everybody in Princeton just thought it was fabulous. Because it's like,
but it sounded
blue
good,
bloods in
right?
Princeton don't know
chicken
anything.
Chicken breast, spinach.
Okay. Here, right? tell me if this sounds good. So chicken breast and spinach. Wonderful, right? Uh-huh. Fresh spinach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay, here's the topping. Equal parts sour cream and Campbell's cream of mushroom soup with curry powder and mayonnaise.
Mm.
And you put it on the top and you bake it.
Lost me there.
And then,
although if
no,
you
this
mix
is the pièce de la résistance.
It might not be
what is
horrible.
The expression?
Pièce
de la.
I don't know. You're the one that took French for 7 years.
I know. I can't remember. It's a de la. Anyway. Then at the top, because it never got browned, you know, because of the mayonnaise in it, it was sort of bubble up like, you know, like a custard, mm-hmm. but it never got browned. So to rectify that, you would just sprinkle it with a whole bunch of wheat germ.
And they loved it.
And they loved it.
So see, that fits into the same category.
I think I need to taste that. I think we.
You ask Karen. You ask your friend Karen about Chicken Flow. Okay. She's going to be like, oh, man. If I ever see another one of those again.
The other idea I came up with this morning was just because Laura's so hooked up with people who are professional chefs that when she went to culinary school,
yes.
and they're all over the globe.
Yeah.
I thought it might be interesting to have, you know, either they called in or they sent in like an interesting recipe from their part of the world.
Call in on a show that's
maybe. Not that exciting.
Or even just to send in a recipe for something that, you know, they're eating in
sure,
Morocco that
send,
we don't
sure
eat here.
Sure, they'd all be into sending me stuff.
Yeah,
a
so
segment.
I thought that might be cool.
Okay, again, that can be a segment.
Or even like a
show.
Tip that they do something, you know, that they figured out that we don't use in the United States.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Although the majority of them are now in the States. There's only a couple that are.
I think we have to just
global.
I think we have to just keep thinking, because sometimes, you know,
maybe
you don't know what you don't know.
Our listeners write in and say, what do you think?
I think so. What's the email?
It's laura@chamberswalk.com. And
or they could drop by the restaurant.
We just threw out there. What?
They could drop by your restaurant and
no,
tell you in person and have some lunch.
I'm barely there. No. That might be an idea, right? We've just thrown out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 ideas for possible.
I have a feeling
taping.
This is going to take a lot more discussion.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think that we have to kind of have to, maybe as part of our research, you know, I don't watch every single cooking show.
I don't either. That's why I started taping.
And I really don't want to do anything remotely Food Network-y. I don't want anything over the top. PBS, think PBS.
No. Yeah.
Because not that we're going to get on PBS, although who knows? We might. He has contacts there, so right. we might. But something more along those lines, you know, a little more okay. like highbrow, understated, you know, Anthony Bourdain-esque.
Okay, we're reaching for the stars.
I'm ready
here.
To travel the world.
Yeah. All right, we're running out of time. When we come back, some more food conversation on Food for Thought.
Are we going to actually talk about how to make something?
We could do that.
Yeah.
What do you want to know how to make?
I don't know. Let's find out in the next segment.
Throw me something and I'll tell
Quick,
you.
Laura. Think. All right, come back. When you come back, we'll have something. I swear to God.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now.
Call 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921.
A lot of people don't understand what it is to have a personal chef. I want people to know that if you hire me, you get me. This is not like a big business service where you're going to, who knows who you're going to get. Part of the service, so you don't even have to go to the damn grocery store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I charge $200 for a half day in Central Jersey.
Right.
That $200 can get a couple, a party of two, almost always four dinners a week. Plus the groceries, but they would be buying groceries anyway.
Right.
And what they've been used to spending has actually probably been more because they're getting takeout all the time.
And if you're on a diet, if you're avoiding certain
special
diets,
gluten-free, you like Indian food, you just want Indian food, I can do that. By the way, if you did hire me twice a week and you guaranteed me work every single week, and some people would say objections to that. Well, we travel a lot.
Right.
Well, I have a client who travels a lot. They pay me for X amount of hours a week, might be 8, might be 10. Sometimes I work 14. Sometimes I work 0. Right. So we keep a spreadsheet. And when I wind up owing them hours, they usually have a dinner party.
Right.
Or something, they use up the hours. They're happy to do
it. So they always get their hours.
But it's worth it to them because they know they have someone every single week. People love this service. They really do.
Right.
Contact Deirdre at 908-392-3681. And welcome back to Food for Thought. We're actually going to talk about some food.
Yay.
Yay.
I love food.
So yesterday I have this delivery in the city, and this is what I hate about deliveries. And I don't know if you can feel that or remember this pain, but takeout, drop-offs.
Yeah.
I don't like them. You know why? I just
especially
feel
the packaging I don't like is the part of it I don't like.
Well, the packaging, but I think, and we've talked about this before, when you have $25 worth of sashimi or sushi in a restaurant and you have the ambiance and it's being served to you and the presentation and you get the bill and it's your friend had that too and you had tea and it's like $60.
Right.
And you don't think anything of it.
Right.
Plus a tip, that's just the way it is. You send that exact same thing and take out containers and it loses its value big
time.
I mean, what I had to charge these people, and basically I charged to deliver it. And now on site, I did some things and to deliver it, it was 50 pieces of six different things, 5 hors d'oeuvres and 1 chocolate truffles. Mm-hmm. I charged them $600 plus $75 delivery fee.
Mm-hmm.
Had to.
Right.
I mean, my ingredients cost me $200. Right. It took me some time to put it all together. I'm doing everything custom. I don't have underlings under me doing all the grunt work. I'm doing everything.
Right.
So I get there and I'm looking at this food. I'm looking at the six
things
that
I'm going, at it.
Jesus, $700?
I know.
Really?
And I know exactly what you mean.
And I hated it. So I'm doing the best I can. Now I decided, I don't know why this happened.
But you must be cheaper because they're right in New York City. You must be cheaper than the locals.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Why would they go with you if they could? I mean,
maybe
they
don't
know.
I haven't even followed up. I don't even know if they liked it.
Okay.
But here's one thing that happened.
You didn't call them the next day. You called them.
I'm
going to
call them. I haven't had a chance. Doing this, and I got to be somewhere else. But so black pepper tuna, so it's seared and cut into little cubes with a little dot of soy glaze, a little seaweed salad, and tabico. I decided I cut it all into cubes, but then I packaged that all up and I did that on site because I was just imagining all of that, like,
well, that's
potentially
the other thing I was
going to
say about deliveries. You can't really, sometimes you can't present it the way you want to present
or you
it.
Think
or you
it's,
need to
it,
do, or even if you leave them instructions. I mean, for certain things, you know, they don't want a chef there. Great. I'm dropping it off, whatever. And you leave them pretty, you know, intricate instructions. Yeah. I hate it because you don't know if they're doing it right. You don't know if they're,
and I handed it off to a crew, like staff, you know, I felt like going, you know, I can provide these people,
right?
You know, I mean, these people seem lovely, but they don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I would totally have been there for 20 minutes, like giving them instructions on what I wanted them to do and how I wanted them to do it.
I did try to do that. So one of the hors d'oeuvres, so the tuna I did there took a lot of time, they wanted something that was completely vegan, so I did cucumber cups filled with a Thai chili relish. Scooped the cucumber cups out the day before, put them in paper towels on site, filled them with the chili relish, just a little sprig of cilantro, you know, nothing. That was fine.
All right.
Cold chicken canapes, which I hate this hors d'oeuvre, but they didn't want anything with seafood. You know, the tuna was the only seafood they wanted. They didn't want smoked salmon. They didn't want shrimp. They didn't want they didn't want beef. So they said, can we do chicken canapes? And I'm thinking, okay, well, there's nothing more boring than that, but sure, you know? So I did the chicken canapes on a whole grain bread that I cut into little squares, whole rough mustard, and then a little square of the chicken cut just in a somewhat square shape, so it was just smaller than the square, and a little fig jam on top. So I, minus the fig jam, I set those all up on the takeout container and put a bunch of damp paper towels over it.
Right.
And then on site, pulled those paper towels off, did the dollop of the fig jam.
Perfect.
Was fine with that.
Yep.
You did a lot of on-site prep.
It took me about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But the other one was...
How many people was it for?
It was for 40 people.
Nice.
And the other one was... goat cheese tartlets. And I just used the frozen, you know, the phyllo little baby tartlets, which I do often. And what I decided to do was that morning, late morning, I filled them with the goat cheese mixture. But I didn't want to do the blueberry chutney yet because I know it bleeds. I know that it can
get
weird. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to refrigerate these guys. Because I don't want that those little tartlets to get soft, right?
Right.
That's what would happen,
Right? So,
absolutely.
Well, guess what?
They got stale?
They got soft because I think in the car, it was cold enough. You know, where isn't that what you would do? Just keep them room temperature until you serve them?
Somehow?
I left them uncovered. I said, let these just sit out for a while so hopefully they dry out a little bit. So I'm not sure that those are going to be.
Did you have them covered?
Yes.
I think I might have left them open.
In the travel?
Yeah.
They were open all day.
No, I think I would.
And I tested them.
Obviously,
even
before the moisture
I left.
Got even trapped
before
in
I left,
it somewhere.
I wanted to test one. And I thought, okay, cool. It's still crispy.
I think
in the car,
it
got. So I'll just. That one I learned, okay, you can't do that one.
Well,
you have to do it
even,
on site.
I don't mean uncovered, but like those disposable containers, like even if you just like with a knife, cut a hole in the top of it.
Yeah.
So there's air because of, you know, one little hint of moisture in there and now it's compressed.
Yeah.
If so it's in the sun, if
it's like when you get french fries to go at the fast food place and they put it in the bag.
Never.
And no, they go from being crispy to completely soggy.
You need to cut a hole in the top of whatever
people
they're
still
doing.
Do that?
The steam,
I don't
why do
know.
They even give it to you like that?
I don't know.
So when we do our to-go stuff, when we do fries to go, it's the last thing to go in the top, and we have cut a little teeny hole in the top of it.
Why doesn't everybody do
shell.
That?
I don't know. It's the stupidest thing. It's a chemical
because
reaction.
Because it gets
There's
cold.
No, there is no way. No, it doesn't get that cold.
Well, I know, but I think that's why they close the bag.
I know,
thinking
but even
that
if
it'll
you,
keep it warm.
You also can just, like, with a knife, stab some holes in it. It just lets the moisture out.
Well, back
out.
When I used to eat that kind of food, I would always open it immediately to try to let the moisture out. So,
what, like you don't eat that kind of food anymore?
No.
Oh.
Fast food? I've had French fries. Oh, but fast food. I haven't had fast
okay,
food.
I thought you were talking about okay.
French fries.
Yeah. So fast anyway, food French fries to go.
What was the last food item I had? Oh, the only thing that was really a no-brainer and easy and I could do totally in advance mm-hmm. was good old asparagus wrapped in prosciutto with Orsen.
Because you could have taken those to California. They would have been exactly the same.
Fine. They just flown with them. I don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
But anyway.
And they're good, aren't they?
I always love those. I really
love
don't
them,
get sick
and
of those.
I love to just eat them with my fingers.
Absolutely.
I know.
What, like you're going to knife and fork that one?
Well, some people might.
Yeah, but you know, the quality of the prosciutto yeah. makes a difference.
Of course.
Well,
quality of everything makes a difference.
Right. So where do you get your prosciutto? Is it good quality prosciutto?
I actually bought the one. What's the brand? In the, it's already sliced with the paper in between it.
Yeah.
It I starts know. With a C.
Yeah.
It's all right. You have to understand.
It's Italian. It's good.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go down to, you know, yeah. Murray's Cheese or wherever I would go to get the stuff that's mm-hmm. $48 a pound for this kind of thing. They don't appreciate it. No. That's something I would do for a dinner
appreciate
party.
It, nor do they know the difference.
No.
Seriously? Right.
Never mind appreciating it.
No, and you know what else they I did?
They're paying, what, $700? They're not going to notice the difference?
You know what I did, too?
No.
Confession.
With prosciutto? An aged prosciutto? No.
I defy
you. No, absolutely not.
Okay. They won't notice.
I know one person in my life, and
like
I know a
20s.
Lot of foodies. I know a lot of people.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
one person in my life who would be able to distinguish specific types of prosciutto.
Exactamo.
And his name
well,
is...
Well, the cheap ones are salty. Very salty.
His name
very
is
salty.
John Paul.
Yep. So I got to tell you what I started doing. Mm-hmm. So the Borsen.
Mm-hmm.
Alouette brand.
You know what? It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's
and
just
it's like
cheese with herbs.
$6.
I know.
And it saves me the time. And none of these people are going to know. And I
actually,
feel...
I started making my own. Just... cream cheese.
Oh, I always have. My point is, I always have
herbs.
Laura,
swish it up.
I'm
crush
saying,
a clove of garlic in there. It's delicious and
point,
easy.
My point being,
they won't know
that they won't. And for this particular job, I knew I had like I'm not making a lot of money on it. Even though to me it seems expensive, I'm still not making a lot of money because it's all these steps.
Yeah,
and I just thought, you know what? For this particular thing, mm-hmm. they're getting Alouette. Because they're not going to know the difference.
Absolutely.
I'm going to save myself from washing that Cuisinart.
Exactly.
You know? It's $6. Yeah. And they're going to love it.
And I'm sure
and
they
I'm,
did.
And, you know, this is the world. This is the difference between what I think sometimes with off-premise catering and having a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Because if I had a restaurant, I would have a really hard time with serving any Alouette in a restaurant.
Right.
I really would.
It depends. I mean, there's certain corners that can be cut.
And tell,
I mean,
tell
a
us
lot
the corners
cannot.
That you guys... What corners do you guys cut? Like, tell me. Just admit it.
I can't even think of one, but that might be one of them.
I know.
Like
you make your
Alouette.
Own ketchup. You make do
we
an
don't
Alouette?
Make our own ketchup. We get the... oh, gosh, I can't think of the name of it. It's kind of an organic ketchup.
All right. When you make,
you know, there's
little,
some things we
when you
do.
Make little Philo cups. Do you make them yourself, or do you buy the?
We buy them.
See, right there.
That
now, can you know, argue?
You know, the Mykonos, the ones that make the Philo.
Yeah, yeah.
The,
but you yeah. could argue, though. I've never done it because I just don't want to take the time. But I'll bet you, if I did them myself, they'd be better.
No, they wouldn't.
Really?
No, they'd be exactly the same.
Couldn't I make them more buttery?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't find
them
to be very
buttery.
Buttery.
No, because
you can make
you can put butter on them. No.
On the pre-made?
Yeah, there's some things it's just not... Most things it's worth it.
But I think
it.
We should do a prosciutto challenge on the TV show.
Okay, you buying all the...
Because you're going to be able to taste the difference.
You buying the Jamon Serrano?
Have a budget,
I would be
Rob.
Able to taste the difference. Yeah.
So
if you
the
got a good Spanish Jamon Serrano, I would know it.
Yeah, but you're saying the average person wouldn't?
Correct.
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 They did a side by side.
All right,
this
I'm,
is the
I'm,
same reason.
I'm feeling a vote for the busting myth slash
same
comparison
reason.
Show.
Yeah.
Okay, very similar to my reasoning that sometimes when things don't go 100% correct in mm-hmm. terms of presentation or how my technique or things that don't work out, the first thing I think of is, don't worry, nobody knows food. Unless I was dealing with a whole bunch of foodies, then I'd be freaking out.
But even so, sometimes, I think sometimes...
Most people don't get it. They're just like, oh, this is fabulous.
Don't.
And you're like, yeah, sauce broke, well, but or
the,
you know,
white meat chicken is still the most expensive cut on the bird.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of white meat. I did for my canapes. I did the white meat chicken.
I mean, we do for certain dishes. There's, you know, people order it.
I know, but I'm a real. I'm
you gotta please the people. You know.
Although I have had clients.
We
that
always
said
have
we really...
two different chicken dishes on our dinner menu. One is a dark meat dish, and one is a white meat dish.
And which one sells better?
They both probably sell equally.
Even? Okay, interesting. Yeah. I know I'd go for the
chicken
dark meat.
Breast. I mean, to me, unless it's on a sandwich with like pesto and prosciutto and roasted red peppers and all kinds of, or olive tapenade, it's or in
on the catering
salad.
Menus. I'll be honest with you, on the catering menus, definitely the breasts sell more than the not in the restaurant. Lunch or dinner, but on catering menus like a stuffed chicken breast. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I know. People love people it.
But
love
that's because people in general, Americans,
don't like
a lot of flavor.
And also the presentation, you know, it's stuffed, it's sliced, it's white. It's fanned, it's, yeah.
It's white, so you get
it lends
like,
itself like how could the I contrast do? With the spinach and mushroom filling or the roasted red pepper and, you know, sun-dried tomatoes.
It does.
Or,
I mean, sometimes aesthetics, it will win. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I mean, how do you do
the
chicken canapé with dark meat chicken? You know, it's like you kind of need that white. And I did try, I think I was pretty successful. I think I did an appoint chicken breast for this. I poached it.
Okay.
I'm always leaving my thermometer in the storage room.
Okay.
So I had no thermometer, but I just kind of, I had an extra.
Don't you have a pocket on your thing, on your jacket?
No. And I always pack it away and then I got to look for it and I don't feel like it. And then I just say, oh, I'll figure it out. But I had like a whole extra breast that I was able to test and not even use that one. And
perfect.
Lo and behold, it was good. Pretty perfect, which awesome. Helps a lot with chicken breast because it dries out. That's the thing.
How about is organic chicken worth the price as opposed to?
To me, no. People will disagree with me on that.
I kind of disagree with you only because of the flavor. I can tell.
I can't.
I totally can tell.
I think it's just because I can't tell. And I have done
it
side by side.
It depends on the preparation, but for the most part, I'm kind of getting over
it. For me too, and it cooks differently too.
I'm kind of losing my taste for chicken.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how could you?
I don't know, it kind of is grossing me out lately.
I think it tastes very different.
It's always grossed me out.
Budding vegetarian.
It has always grossed me out.
Really?
Chicken?
Handling it. Huh. Always.
Oh, that's my boyfriend,
so
too.
So one thing, I don't put rubber gloves on for a lot because I'm constantly washing
but
my hands.
But you do with that?
With chicken, I do. I just can't do it anymore.
Because
it just grosses me. I don't know. It just grosses me out. So I definitely can tell good chicken. I can tell
maybe
the
that's
taste
why
of an
so
organic
sensitive
chicken.
To it because you
maybe.
It really, there's something about it
there's
that
something about it.
Skeeves
you. I mean, and I can literally... You know, as much as I'm not a food snob, like I eat a lot of things, I'm really not a food snob. There are certain things that if I get a whiff of something, that's it. I'm done. I'm done.
Really? You know, I'm already thinking about ways
and
to
torture
you.
And I'm very good at
you.
Sniffing. I think I have a good nose.
Like, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of getting like raw, like having her blindfolded and getting like raw Pope's noses.
Are you
and,
kidding
like,
me?
Pushing them on her face.
Thank you. That would be the end of me.
And sticking it under your nose.
Remember that?
I
chicken
know
butt.
What it was
that reminds me of my
right
idea
away.
For the Pope's Nose Cafe.
Pope's Nose Cafe. Well, that's next. One thing at a time, Rob. You know, we got
there's nothing but Pope's noses and different flavorings. Yeah, we're almost actually we got a minute left.
But anyway, you can tell
that could be a show right there.
What?
Product ID.
Product ID?
Yeah. Ideas. Smell this. What does this smell like? Oh, identification.
Okay. Oh, okay. With a blindfold.
With blindfolds. Blindfold.
Cooked or raw?
Either or.
Well, cooked would be more fun.
So is it all poultry that's kind of skeeving you lately or is it just chicken?
Just chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
Raw duck, you can like...
Yeah, I boned a duck not that long ago. It didn't bother me.
Just chicken. Chicken. It feels sort of, I don't know, suspicious.
I can't explain it.
You're singling out
no, I
the chickens
it.
And it's
well,
not fair.
You know what?
They're just like any other poultry.
I know.
And they deserve...
We see you guys on 42nd Street.
All right, I guess we're done.
I guess we're done. We'll see you next week.
Join us again next week on Food for Thought.
Enjoy the sunshine. No more snow in the forecast.
Happy spring.
Bye.